just it only takes two or three. That's the only requirement that God gave, that are gathered in His name. And I don't know about you, but I'm not gathered in any other name today. I didn't come here for anyone except for Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that He's here. We've already felt His presence. He is a good God. Man, I'm telling you, He is answering prayers. He is doing all sorts of things that He promised that He would do. We are seeing it. And even though the day is a struggle right now, it's a hard time we're in because of different circumstances, I'm glad that God has never changed. He's been the same. And He always said He wouldn't change. He said we could root and ground ourselves in Him. And, you know, sometimes we look at verses like that, and I don't know about you, I kind of take it for granted sometimes. But then when the storm comes and you really anchor into God's word and God's promises and prayer and everything else, and then you really see when everything shifts, there's God right where He always said He would be. Aren't you glad for that? We're going to be in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. So in the Old Testament. So really, if you start with Matthew and you go left a little bit, Zechariah chapter 7. It's one of the smaller books near the end of the Old Testament. It does have 14 chapters, so hopefully you can find it a little better. But Zechariah chapter 7, so glad we've got God's word to lead us and guide us in these times. We have got a sure foundation that the Bible says is pure and preserved to every generation. I'm glad we can still trust in God's word this morning. But we'll be in Zechariah chapter 3, but we're going to start off with prayer before I even say anything. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. You've blessed us with a wonderful day today. Any day is a blessed day. We can come into Your house and worship You. And Lord, I pray that You would just use me today to preach the word. Lord, help us to listen. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Yeah. Lord, I pray that this word would hit exactly where we need it to hit. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to draw closer to You. Lord, if anyone's here or anyone is listening online now or later, Lord, I pray that You would use the words of power. And Lord, that You'd draw all men unto You. And we're doing this in Jesus' name. And we thank You for what You're going to do. And amen. Amen. So I'm going to start reading in Zechariah 7:3. But before I start, I want to give you a quick introduction to kind of tell you where we are at in the Old Testament. So the point that we were at is, if you remember, the temple had been burned down. So Solomon's temple, the Babylonians came and they burned it down. They destroyed Jerusalem and they took a large number captive into Babylon. And then after a period of time, if you remember, Cyrus, king of Persia, comes along and he's the one that challenges them to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. If you remember that, so Zerubbabel and about almost 50,000 leave to go rebuild Jerusalem, and that's the book of Ezra. So the beginning of the book of Ezra, that is that time period. So if you're looking at Ezra, remember the very first thing is they rebuild the altar and they restart the sacrifice, and then they build the foundation of the temple. And I love that passage because when they dedicate basically the foundation that they've rebuilt, they praise the Lord, and the younger ones are shouting, and the older ones that remember the old temple, they're crying. And it says that it was so loud you couldn't tell the difference between the cries and the shouts. And I say praise God for that. So they're rebuilding the temple, but something happens in Ezra is the work stops. So they sent letters to the king. The king got it, and he went and researched and figured out that in Jerusalem they were rebellious over the years, and he ordered the work to stop, and it stopped for 7 years. Then you get to the book of Haggai. And Haggai, a prophet, he's a contemporary of Zechariah. They were at the same time. And Haggai challenges them to start rebuilding again. You know, one of the things that he tells them is he says, listen, look at your house. Look at how, and he says sealed walls. But basically, look at how fancy your house is while my house is in ruins. Amen. Well, the Lord's house is in ruins. And he gets them. Remember, they had made excuses of, well, basically, we'll wait to a better time. And he says, the better time will never come. You need to start rebuilding now. And they do. The rebuilding starts. The Lord's house. So that restarts. But you know, every time they start rebuilding, you know what also starts coming again is the opposition. We do anything for the Lord, and the opposition will be there. Satan will be there. He doesn't want us to build. He doesn't want us to rebuild things that have been torn down or anything. So Zechariah, the rebuilding was going on for about 2 years. So this is 2 years after the restart, okay? Remember, they started rebuilding, they stopped for 7 years, they started again for 2 years, and it will be about 2 years before it's finished. So we're right here in the middle of that restarting period. That's where Zechariah is right here. So in the beginning of chapter 7, they send two men from Bethel, that's where they were currently worshiping at, and they ask Zechariah a question. So now we'll finally get to the passage. Zechariah 7:3 says this, "And to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem inhabited and in her prosperity and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away their shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words from the Lord of the host has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you again. Lord, I know we've prayed once already, but Lord, I ask that you'd help me to preach. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us to listen. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, so here we go. That question had came. Remember, the rebuilding had restarted, and they were 2 years away, about 2 years away from finishing the rebuilding of the temple. And this question comes in verse 3. Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? So we have to go back a little bit. The Lord had, he had only told them one time of the year, I want you to fast. He had only set one annual fast, and that was around the Day of Atonement. But the Jews, when they were taken captive, they created four more fasting days every year that they would do. And one of those was in the fifth month. So the fifth month was the same month that the temple burned down and the large group was taken captive to Babylon. So every year they're remembering that fifth month with a fast. And now they're asking, we're free now, right? We've been allowed to return. And in fact, they had been free at this point for close to 19 years. Do we still need to fast, right? Do we still need to mourn in the fifth month for the temple that was burned down when we're almost done rebuilding it? Do we still need to mourn for us being in captivity even though we've been free for 19 years? That's what they're asking. Should we continue this fast? You realize something? They had kept that fast for so long, and they weren't even sure if they should still do it or not. So the word of the Lord comes to Zechariah. Look at verses 5 and 6. Zechariah, God sends a message to the prophet. And here's, you know, I like the Lord. You know what he does? They asked him a question, and he asked them two questions, right? That's what verse 5 and verse 6 is. He's starting to ask them questions. God is asking in verse 5, when ye fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me? Even to me? You know what he's saying? You have been fasting for over 70 years in captivity, and the years that you've been free, you've been fasting all this time. You know what he's really asking? Who were you doing it for? Who did you do this for? God said, I never told you to start the fast every year. That was your idea. So you're going to come to me and ask me, should you stop? Right? He's asking, why are you doing it? Who are you doing it for? When you fasted, were you fasting for me? Look on in verse 6. Did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Oh, there's a little bit of conviction there, right? He's starting to say, and when you stopped fasting, when you were fasting versus when you weren't, weren't you just doing all this for yourself? Oh, this is harsh. God's getting harsh with them. These are tough questions God is asking the people. He goes on. God goes on and reminds them in verses 9 and 10. He reminds them of why they were in captivity in the first place. He says, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against your brother in your heart. See, he gives a list, but God could have kept going on and told them, you know, you were worshiping idols, you were mixing true religion with false religion of your neighbors, but he tells them about, number one, look at how you were treating each other, look at how you were treating your neighbor. You know what God's starting to tell them? You are mourning the destruction of the temple. You are mourning the captivity. But you were forgetting what caused that in the first place. Right? You are mourning the effect of your disobedience to God. That's what he's saying. You are mourning the situation that you were in. But look what got you there. You know what got them there? It was being disobedient to God's word. Look in the Old Testament. God gave them warning after warning. And you know what they did? They refused to listen. They said, surely God won't do that to us. We're his chosen people. They said all of these things. There's no way God would allow an enemy to come in here and tear all this down. And God said, I will, and I warned you, and I told you not to do these things, among other things, and you did it anyway.
Amen.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at verses 11 and 12. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away their shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. You see what's starting to happen? Number one, they refused to hearken. See, you know what that hearken, it means more than just listening. That means that they were listening in their ears, but they didn't hearken, which means they didn't do anything about it. It didn't change them. They didn't obey what they heard. They heard warnings from different prophets, but look at this. There's a progression in verses 11 and 12. They refused to hearken. They were still listening, but they weren't doing anything when they heard God, heard what the prophets were saying and the warnings of judgment and all these things because of the way they were acting. And then it says, they're refusing to listen, but look next. They pulled away the shoulder. They started getting further away, right? It's a progression. Then what? They stopped their ears. See, at first they were listening, but not really taking heed. Then they're pulling away. Now I'm saying, I don't even want to hear it anymore. You see? That's what he's saying, that they should not hear. Then look at verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. You see that? You know how it starts out? God's explaining it to them. He said it starts out. The first step is when you get a passage, maybe you're reading it or listening to preaching or in Sunday school or whatever, you hear God's word and it goes into your mind and your heart and you say, whoa, wait a second. Right? Have you ever done that? You felt the conviction there. You said, my goodness, God's saying I shouldn't do this anymore. I shouldn't be this way. I need to do that instead of this. The conviction comes. But then what do? Because what they did is they didn't hearken. We can do the same thing. You know what happens? The problem is, you sit under sermon after sermon, you read your Bible, and God keeps bringing out the same thing and the same thing. And what do? We make excuses, right? We make excuses of why we're not going to do that or why we shouldn't do that. And eventually, you know what will happen? See, first you don't hearken. Then you start to pull away, right? Then you close your ears off. You know what? I know the passage is coming that I don't want to deal with. I'm just going to skip it, right? Ooh, we don't like that. But then you know what happens? The heart that was soft starts getting harder and harder.
That's right.
And harder.
Sure does.
That's what he told him. He said, that's what got you there. You know what? I believe we serve the same God today. I believe we are no different than they are. They have different promises, but I'll say spiritually, we can follow the exact same path that they followed. I'm not talking about a temple being destroyed or things like that. I'm talking about spiritually. God deals with your heart. God's word comes and you refuse to hearken enough times and it won't affect you like it used to. That's dangerous when the conviction stops coming over something you used to feel guilty about and convicted about. He said, your hearts got hard. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
He's saying, I want you to realize the whole reason that temple burned down and the whole reason you were in captivity is because of the Lord. He said, I warned you that I would do it. I gave you space to repent over and over again, but finally I did what I said I was going to do. That's God. Amen. And see, they were fasting, right? And you're thinking, well, isn't fasting a good thing? Right? Isn't that what they needed to do? You know what, God, I believe they were the fasting. You know what fasting that God wants? He wants the Nineveh-type fasting. Where you know what they did? They realized, they were like, whoa. Remember Jonah comes and he tells them the judgment's coming. And they stop everything. And they have a fast for everyone. They even make the animals fast. But you know what else they did? They turned.
Amen.
They repented.
Yeah.
They said, we're not going to, God's not happy. He's going to judge us. We're going to stop what we're doing. We're going to fast. We're going to turn. And maybe God will show mercy. That's what the Ninevites did. And God did show mercy.
Amen. Yes.
You know what he doesn't want? He doesn't want some empty ritual without turning. Right? We've said it before, you can get baptized, and that's a wonderful thing, but without repentance, without coming to Jesus, without doing the things that God says, it makes no difference. You'll go in a dry sinner, and you'll come out a wet sinner, and you can substitute anything, whether it's fasting, baptism, whatever it is, making a pilgrimage somewhere. God, you know what he wants more than the ritual? He wants your heart. And their heart had gotten stony and cold, and they pulled away, and they weren't listening to what God had told them. You know what they're saying? I'll fast every year to remember when our lives got worse, right? We'll fast every year to remember that we are in captivity, but we're not willing to change. God says, who are you doing that for? That was the question. Who are you fasting for? You know what? He needs to say, you know what, you need to remember that these are the effects of your disobedience. You're fasting because it's a pity party. He's saying, what about what caused all of it? That was your actions. You know what God could have said? He could have easily just answered, no, I don't want you to fast anymore. But he wanted to teach them. He wanted to teach them something. It's more important to repent and to obey God's word and to listen to the conviction than it is to do some ritual all the time. He says, you know what? You've got to stop the excuses. You've got to stop living this way. You can't blame everyone else for your problems. You can't blame the Babylonians that you're in captivity. You can't blame them for burning down the temple. All of it is your fault. And you know what? The quicker that you repent, The quicker that God will forgive, the quicker God will show mercy, the quicker He will restore you, the quicker the temple will be rebuilt, and the quicker you'll have a closer relationship with God. We were just in Psalm 32 this morning in Sunday school, and that's where David, in the early part of it, he says, "My bones were waxing old." I'm paraphrasing, but basically he's saying that his sin that he had and he was carrying around, it was affecting his very body. It was eating at him. But I love the part where he stops and he says, here's what I did. I'm going to turn there because it blessed me this morning. I was thinking about how these things go together. But he says this in Psalm 32:5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." You know what David finally realized? He's saying, "Listen, I got the conviction. Remember, God sent Nathan the prophet, and it woke him up, and he realized it didn't matter that he was king. It didn't matter if he could force everyone to forget about it. God says, I know what you did. I'm watching you."
Yes, sure enough.
And the quicker you come to me for forgiveness, the quicker we can restore things. Right? You know what? This year, we need to move forward as a church, don't we? This year, we've got to draw closer to the Lord.
Sure.
But you know what? Sometimes before we can do things like that, we've got to repent of things first. We've got to turn from some things. And I am afraid that there are some areas in some of our lives that we have gotten cold-hearted to God. And do you realize that you can still worship, you can still have rituals, you can still do all these things, and God is waiting for you to really come to Him and say, "How's it going?" He's waiting for us to say, "Search me, O Lord." Because all the while, God said, "I don't really care about this fast. You're doing it for yourself. If you really wanted to worship me, you'd come to me and you'd realize how far apart we are." I think that should hit us today. Their ears were stopped up. They didn't want to listen anymore. In fact, they could have went through scripture after scripture that they had and realized God sent a warning. And they had seen the prophecy fulfilled. The temple had burned down. There's no question why. No different than us. We can look back and tell exactly why. They could do the same thing. But you know what? We don't want to hear it. Right? We don't want to listen anymore. We just want to go our own way. And we'll do some ritual every year to remember how bad it was. But you know what? We got to open up our ears. We got to open up our hearts. If there's something in your life, if there's a part, if there's something we've been preaching about, something maybe that's in your devotional, maybe in your daily reading, something you've heard in Sunday school, whatever it is, and God keeps dealing with you about it, we've got to deal with that before we stop listening, because that's the next step, right? Every time we make an excuse to God, it's easier the next time. Every time we push away that conviction and step away and say, "You know what, God, nah, not right now," it gets easier to do it again and easier and easier. And then they got to the point where their heart was hard against God. Do you realize something? God could do this the same thing today. You know what it really is? It's called chastisement. He had to wake them up to make them realize the power wasn't in the building. He said, "I want your hearts. I want you to live right. I want you to obey me." He realized God does the same thing with us. He loves us. Those that are saved and of Jesus Christ, if we are disobedient to Him, you know what He'll do? He'll wake us up, won't He? We have to do that with our children sometimes, right? We have to give them a wake-up call, right? When they're not listening, when they're doing something that's dangerous, you've got to wake them up. Sometimes the hand of God has to go to the seat of the problem, right? To wake him up. You realize God has to do that with us sometimes. Now, I can't pretend that I know the mind of God, and I can't tell you what is just, sometimes we just undergo trials. Sometimes things happen because of the curse of sin in this world. Sometimes that's why bad things happen. But sometimes it's because of chastisement to a Christian person.
That's true.
And here's the thing. If it is chastisement, and you and I are sincere with God, and we come to God, and we repent, not just fasting for show, but we are sincere, and we come to God, and we repent, you realize what happens. If it is chastisement, and we come to Him and ask God to forgive us, and ask God to help us to turn, and ask God to help us to fix whatever it is, the chastisement stops. You realize that?
Yeah.
If he's trying to get our attention, if he's giving us a spanking spiritually, and we come to him and we realize it, we say, God, I've been turning this off in my life. You have been dealing with me about this, but I keep pushing it off. Today's the day I'm going to deal with it. He doesn't need to spank you anymore. Where were they at now? They weren't in captivity anymore. Right? They were rebuilding that temple, and they were almost done. Maybe God's been trying to get your attention. You know what? You know how you get God's attention? You get real with Him. You come to Him. You say, God, what did David say? I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity. It's my fault. Nobody else's. Right? God, your word told me to do something, or your word told me not to do something, and I've been ignoring it. I've been a rebel. But today's the last day. I'm going to come to him and be serious. Right? Are you done with the spanking? Right? Are you tired of it? You realize no one's more tired of it than God. I love you so much, I wish you'd just wake up. But I'm not going to let you continue in disobedience because it's destructive. And I love you. You know what? You know what God was telling them? Instead of being so worried about the captivity in the past, you know what he's saying? You should be more worried about doing the same things that got you into captivity in the first place. That's what he's telling them. You should be more worried about turning back into that lifestyle that I told you not to do, to living in against God's law, against God's commandments. Because listen, he said, you're doing good right now, but I don't want to have to do this again. Have you been there? Have you been there as a Christian person in the same shoes? You know, I've read the Old Testament over and over again. And so many times I find myself with the children of Israel saying, why were they so stubborn? Yep. Wouldn't they get it?
Yep.
When they followed God, he blessed them. And when they didn't, they endured problems. Right. Wouldn't they just learn? And I remember one time I was ranting and raving. You know what God said? You're the same way.
Yeah.
Right? You're the same way.
You sure are.
When are you going to learn? And I said, oh God. Right? Oh God, I'm the same way. You know what? We're so worried about, should I do this or should I do that when it comes to worship? You know what he said? Get your heart right and the worship will come. Right? Be more worried about your and my relationship than anything else. Should we keep fasting? Say no. Not fasting for the effects.
Right.
You know what he said? If anything, if you want to fast, fast because we were so stubborn. And it took us so long to come to God. If you want to remember anything, remember God's mercy.
Right.
Remember what got you in that position. But also remember who can pull you out. Right?
Amen.
You know what amazes me? The other thing about the Old Testament, they do it over and over and over again, right? They fail God over and over and over again. And there is God with open arms every time. As soon as you're ready, as soon as you're done in rebellion, as soon as you're done in a far country, right? There's God saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you. I think we got the same message today. What's he saying? I don't want to send wrath. I don't want to send a spanking. I don't want to chastise. But I love you. And if I have to do it, I will to wake you up. But you know what he's saying? Just come to me. I want to move forward this year, church. I know we've endured a lot of things this last year, and I don't know how much of 2021 is going to look like last year. I don't know. We may have to keep going in this for a while. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. God is still true.
Amen.
And His Word is still true.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will still deal with us as Christians and point out things we need to work on, but will also teach us and help us to do what God wants us to do. If we're going to do anything this year, there's some areas we got to repent in. There's some areas we got to get serious with God and say, you know what? But they refuse to hearken. Maybe some of us need to say, God, I'm right there. I hear you, but I'm not doing it. I'm not changing. Pulled away the shoulder. Some of us need to admit that. God, I'm not as close to you as I was. Stop their ears. Lord, there's been things that you've been telling me I quit listening. That they should not hear, yet they made their hearts as an adamant stone. I don't think anyone in this building is there because you're here. But there's a danger that you can get to that point. There are people in this church that you can ask, what was it like after you were saved? And you walked away from God for a while.
That's right.
You know what they'll tell you? It was awful.
That's right.
It was awful. It was worse than before I knew Jesus.
Right.
Living in the same sinful world.
Amen.
That's right.
But you know what else they'll tell you? He took me back in.
Amen.
Now, I can't tell you when judgment will come. I can't tell you when the Lord's going to come back. So you have to be ready right now. But also, as long as we're here, God needs us to be obedient. He's got things for us to do. We've got a word that is so powerful that needs spread. We've got a Jesus that's so amazing that we need to tell this world about it.
Amen.
We've got things to do. But there are things in your life that can get in the way. That's what Hebrews tells us, right? The things that doth so easily beset us, slows us down. The sins and the weights of this world slow you down. But you know what? Maybe today's the day. Say, I'm done. God, I'm done with the spanking. I realize you're trying to get my attention. Let's cut out the pity party of where we're at and realize the reason we are where we're at is because of us. God said, I told you what to do. And when are you going to do it? We're going to ask everyone to stand today.